I wanted to promote a book. If it's been in the back, Bonnie let me read this. She gave it to me probably about 5 or 6 months ago, and I was reading a couple of other things in the meantime. So I read this probably 1 or 2 days a week, and then the last couple of weeks, about a month ago, I just decided I was going to finish it up. And it's called "Imprisoned with ISIS." It's a guy who serves with Voice of the Martyrs, and he spent about 14 months or so in an ISIS prison. He was over as a missionary, and they found a bunch of stuff. They found things on his computer and people he was talking to, and a lot of believers were arrested and thrown in prison, and he was one of them. And his testimony through all that had the opportunities that God gave him. He was moved from prison to prison. He was beaten. He was peed on by the Muslims over there, and he just kept his faith. He almost lost it. He said a lot of times he was so discouraged, but God worked in a miraculous way. So it'll probably, if you're not reading something else, it'll probably take you a couple weeks to read this. It's just powerful. It says faith in the face of evil. So I'll put this in the back, but if someone wants to read up, you don't need to sign it out or anything. Just take it and then bring it back in a couple weeks when you're done. All right, I'm not sure what I'm going to do this morning. I have my message ready, have the PowerPoint up here, but just this week the Lord has been speaking to me about a couple of other things and a couple of conversations I've had with people, and I was reading scripture this morning, reading through the Bible in the year like I always do, and just had, like I said, had a conversation this week. So if you don't mind, I think I'm going to postpone this, and I'm trusting that I'm obeying the Lord. I just really feel like he's been kind of pricking my heart, and I have nothing prepared, so I'm just going to be kind of speaking off the cuff here. But so if you don't mind, just put your notes away, and we'll get back to this next week. If I get going and don't feel like the Lord wants me to speak on this, then we'll go back to Leviticus. But I don't know how many of us have family members who are away from the Lord. Maybe it's a child, maybe grandchildren, maybe a bunch of family members who were brought up in church, had just kind of wandered away, and it's been on your heart. It's been on my heart talking with my kids, just kind of saying, I wish they were a little bit further along spiritually. So I'm not trying to step on toes because I'm speaking to you as pastor because I'm concerned for my own family. But I was up in Corning Thursday. Cheryl had an appointment, and I was in Wegmans, and I saw out of the corner of my eye, I was walking down the aisle, saw the corner of my eye, somebody waving to me. It was my old pastor that I served almost 20 years with in Corning, and he called me over, and we were talking, and his wife came up, and we were hugging each other, and they were in line, and so I went and got some food for my mother-in-law, and went through, and then we waited outside, and we talked outside for about 45 minutes, and he was just sharing some things on his heart, and he's hard to believe. He's 85 now. He still looks. You'd probably think he was 70, but I mean, just a very great man of God and a pastor to pastors. So I really love Earl Whitaker. But we were talking, and he said, "You know," he asked about our kids, and I said, "They're not where I'd like them to be spiritually." And he just kind of shook his head. And he goes, "Neither are my kids." And he said, "My grandkids are even further away from what they were brought up as." And he goes, "Isn't it hard? Isn't it sad to see what's going on?" And we kind of encouraged one another and said, "We just need to." That's what he said. He said, "All we can do is pray. When our kids are adults and they make decisions on their own," he said, "all we can do is pray." I remember, and I've probably said this to you before, but my best friend, Tom Fowler, up in Corning, he was a youth leader. And I would speak to his daughters. His daughters kind of went through some, not times of rebellion, but just kind of typical teen years as they got into high school. And Tom would always say to me, he said, I would tell them, "This is what you need to do. This is what you can't do." And he said they wouldn't listen. And he said, he just appreciated my ministry. He said, "Ron," he said, "I want to tell you," he said, "you can talk to my daughters and they'll come home and say, 'You know what Pastor Ron said?'" And he said, "I'm sitting there thinking, that's exactly what I told you, but you didn't want to listen to me." And he just said he just appreciated how God was using me to confirm what he said to his kids, I said the same things. And he said, my daughters listened to you. He said, it was almost like they were listening to the voice of God. Now, please don't think I'm not bragging about it. He just said, it's like they're listening to the voice of God when their own dad's saying the same exact thing, and they weren't willing to listen to it. Tom returned the favor because Cameron went through some difficult times, and I would do the same thing. I told Cameron, this is what you need to do. It's like the wall was up. He didn't want to hear it. But when Tom met with him and talked to him and prayed with him, God started to pierce his heart. And I just was thinking this week how difficult it is when our family is wandering away from the Lord. And this morning in Scripture, if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, I think I read this morning chapter 15 through 17. I usually read 3 pages a morning. And if you do that, if you read 3 pages a day, you'll get through the Bible in a year. So maybe take that challenge. If you do it now, you might need to read 4 pages a day. But if you have time, read a couple pages in the morning and a couple pages in the evening. But I wasn't planning on speaking about this morning, but it just kind of seemed, since I got to church, the Lord's kind of been speaking to my heart about this, especially since I read this morning and then thinking about the conversation with Earl and Marilyn Whitaker about their children and grandchildren. And then I talked to all 3 of our kids yesterday. They're not where they should be spiritually. And then I remind myself, how many of you are where you think you should be spiritually right now? Anybody? Okay. So I have to remind myself, I'm a pastor of the Word of God, and I'm not where I should be spiritually. So God's patience with me reminds me that He's patient with our kids, and He has a lot better goal for my kids than I have for my kids. I want to see them, I don't care about what they earn or what they make or what they do, but I want to see them be on fire for the Lord. And perhaps they haven't seen me be on fire for the Lord. Perhaps it started at home. But I just thought of that this week. And then as I came to Scripture this morning, look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. It's not verse 31. Verse 28. Saul was the king at this point, and God had rejected Saul because Saul had chosen to sin so many times. And Samuel went and said, God's going to tear the kingdom out of your hand. He's going to choose someone better than you. And Saul didn't like that. But David had already been serving in Saul's kingdom. Remember, what was David doing in the palace of David, or in the palace of Saul? Do you remember? Playing the harp. Remember? I don't think the harp's played this way, but that's she's playing a guitar. But no, remember, anytime the Spirit of God kind of left Saul, he was going crazy, and his coworker said, let's find someone who can play the harp for you, and that would calm you down. So David had been serving with Saul, but he was spending time between the palace, and he was also a shepherd. And remember, he had brothers that when Samuel was told by God that we're going to select a new king, or I'm going to select a new king, he saw his older brothers, and Samuel was all excited. This one is going to be the new king. And God said, it's not him, it's not him, it's not him. And finally, he said, after looking at his brothers, they said to his father, they said, do you have any other sons? He goes, yeah, we have one. He's the youngest. He's out taking care of the sheep. But his own father didn't think David was worth being having time with Samuel. And Samuel said, well, we're not going to eat. We're not going to celebrate until I see your other son. And as soon as David came in into the room or to the house or whatever, God said, see, man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. And he said, this is the one that's going to be king. So David was chosen to go and help Saul playing the harp. And he was going back and forth between the palace and his own home as his job as a shepherd. And his father said, your brothers are in battle now, 3 of your brothers. He said, I want you to take some food. Take some of this this wine. Take some of this homemade cheese. Take some of these loaves of bread and see how your brothers are doing. Bring out a report. So David was simply being obedient to what his father said, even though his own father didn't think he was really worth the time of Samuel. Keep that in mind. Look down at verse 28. David comes and he brings all these things. And back up again a second. What was going on here? What was Goliath doing at this point? Do you remember? Goliath was coming out each day, and what was he saying? He was challenging them, right? Saying,
like you said, he was taunting the Israelites.
Yep. He was saying, look, he was 9 foot tall. Okay. So there wasn't anybody else close to him. And he said, just send one of your own guys out. We won't have to fight army to army. Just send one of your guys out. I'll fight him. If you beat me, then we'll be your servants. If I beat you, then you'll be our servants. Now, if you're looking at a 9 foot man whose spear weighed more than probably any of those other guys could throw, they were scared. But he was coming out and he was taunting that. And David heard it as he was approaching. Now look at verse 28. David was just asking questions. How is this guy getting away with this? Verse 28 said, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? His older brother is just mocking him. He says, who do you think you are? You just have a couple of sheep. What are you doing here? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him as they had before. Basically, they were saying, this Goliath has come out to challenge us, and Saul has decided anybody who can beat him can have all these riches, have his daughters as his bride, and good things will happen to the man who defeats Goliath. But I just want you to see siblings and family, how David's own brother, David's own father, was kind of hard on him, but his own brothers were just angry at him. They didn't understand why he was coming down. His father had sent him, but they were willing to fight him. They just didn't appreciate their brother being here. And folks, I think it's very discouraging when we have family members, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, maybe it's brothers, maybe it's in-laws, brothers and sisters, who have wandered away from the Lord. And perhaps we're being attacked. I can't say I've been attacked for my Christian stand from family. I'm very thankful for the Christian family that I do have. My mother and father knew the Lord. Both my sisters and their husbands and their family walked with the Lord. Cheryl's family all walk with the Lord now. And I'm grateful for that. But we watch some of our nieces and nephews and some of my own kids and just think, God, what are you doing? This is where they should be spiritually. I know I should be up here. I've been a Christian for 50 years. I know I should be a lot stronger and more mature than I am. But God, work in our kids' lives. And then I read what David went through with his own brothers and hearing Earl Whitaker talk about his children and grandchildren. I'm just so burdened this week and have been praying that God would do a work in our children. I want you to be honest. How many of you have family members, perhaps as a child, grandchildren, in-law or someone? How many of you have family members that you know have been raised in the church, have heard the gospel, and have turned away from it? Put your hands up. Okay. I think we need to pray for one another. It's discouraging. And again, it's been burdening me this past week. Let me just tell you what my plans were. I didn't plan on doing this this morning. I was planning on finishing up Leviticus next Sunday. And then have a time of specific prayer on April 2nd for Easter, and that the church would have people here and the gospel would go out. And then Easter Sunday, I'm going to be speaking, Lord willing, I'm putting together, is the seven final words of Christ on the cross. And we'll look at that and finishing with "It is finished," and the gospel presentation there. What I'm planning on doing on the 16th is starting a short series on the church triumphant, and just let the church be the church. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. Again, I'm just putting this in the works. Just started this the other day, as a matter of fact. Haven't really put a whole lot of thoughts down. But we need to be prayer warriors. We need to be prayer warriors for our children, for our families, for our home. I'm just going to try and find a part in here that Bonnie had underlined. I just saw it this morning. It said the church or Christians should be praying Christians, or the children of God should be praying people, talking about how this guy endured what he went through. And Wednesday night, I was discouraged again. We know some people were sick. The Mannies were away, but it was Cheryl and I and Sue were here for prayer meeting. And folks, it gets very discouraging when I believe prayer needs to be the backbone of the, or not needs to be, it is the backbone of the church. And we can say, well, I pray by myself, I pray at home. We need to pray together. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be prayer warriors together. And as I've said this from day one, when I came 14 years ago to church, I want prayer meeting to be the largest attended service of our church. I don't care if you come Sunday morning. Stay home Sunday morning. If you'll come Wednesday night and pray, don't come Sunday morning if you can't. But Wednesday night prayer time, or maybe we need to switch prayer meeting to a Sunday morning so we get more. I don't know. But I'm in the process of just reworking my ministry, reworking our how we need to view the church. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series, The Church Triumphant. As I've been praying it through, Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 42, starts it and says, and they were devoted to the breaking of bread, to the ministry of the word, to communion. We're going to look at first Sunday, and what does it mean to be devoted? Are we devoted people? Are we devoted to our families? Are we devoted to our children? Are we devoted in praying for our grandchildren? Or have we gotten so discouraged that we've kind of given up on it? Have we kind of stopped praying because God hasn't answered in our timing? And I'm kind of slapping myself across the face for that because I know I do. If God doesn't answer, and I know I've prayed probably for several years for Cameron. Cameron's okay, but Cameron's not where I think he should be spiritually. And sometimes I just stop praying. And I realize prayer is what's going to change his heart. It's not going to be anything I say. I could sit and lecture my kids. You could lecture your kids and your grandchildren, perhaps your spouse. You could lecture them and try to tell them everything that they need to do. But they're not going to listen to us. It's going to have to be the Holy Spirit of God that works in their hearts, that changes their lives, that changes our siblings like David. And we don't read a whole lot more about his siblings once David became king. But how discouraged do you think David was when family members attacked him and when they weren't walking in the Spirit as he was walking in the Spirit? What I want to do this morning, and again, I said I didn't have anything prepared, and I'm sorry if this came across like I'm lecturing you. I'm not lecturing you because I'm right here with you, with our family. But perhaps this wasn't what you were planning on hearing this morning. It wasn't what I was planning on speaking on when I got here. But I just really felt the Lord this morning, and even while we're just sitting there singing Waymaker, the Lord just wanted me to speak about what's on my heart here. But I do want to spend a few minutes in prayer, just a few minutes, just praying for one another, praying for our grandchildren, praying for our children, praying for our kids' marriages. Perhaps your kids aren't married yet, mine aren't. And I told my son a few years ago, I think I probably mentioned this to you, Cameron had not been walking with the Lord. And he was really interested in a girl. And I said to Cameron, I said, you know what? I said, I don't think this is going to work out. I said, since we got you, I said, I have been praying that God would bring you a Christian girl that you will be the leader of. You've got to walk with the Lord first, Cameron. And I said, I've just been praying that God will bring a Christian girl into your life that you can grow together. And he got really mad at me. He goes, you've been praying that? He said, what if I don't want a Christian girl? And I said, well, you know, that's my prayer. We need to be praying for that. We need to be praying for our children. We need to be praying for our grandchildren. I know I've said this before. My mom, before she passed away, obviously used to always say, I'm not concerned about my children. I'm concerned about my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren growing up in this world. And perhaps you can relate to that. Perhaps you can understand, man, what's going on in our world today, we didn't face. We didn't have pornography out there. We didn't have teachers telling us that you're a fool to believe in the Word of God, and colleges promoting atheism and godlessness. So our kids are being raised in a completely different society and completely different mindset and completely different worldview than what we were raised in. We might not have been raised in a completely Christian worldview, But if you were a Christian and you went to church, no one ridiculed you. I was unashamed to invite guys in my sports team to church. I saw a lot of them come to Christ, not through me, but through our youth leadership or our pastor. But we're afraid today to say we even go to church. We don't want people to think that we're these religious fanatics. You know what? The world needs to see religious fanatics. Okay? The world needs to see people who love Christ and whose lives have been changed through a relationship with Christ. And perhaps we might ask, Lord, you know, perhaps my grandchildren are walking the way they are because they don't see it in granddad or grandpa or grandma. Lord, start the revival with me. And that's been really what's been on my heart. We prayed about this Wednesday night, that the revival would start with me. The revival would start with you. And God has a plan. God has a desire to bring all people to Christ. And maybe we need to be better examples. We definitely need to be better prayer warriors. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes this morning. Again, I'm sorry if this is nothing that matters to you. But just the Lord laid on my heart this week, and I felt that I needed to say some of this. And again, after reading Scripture this morning and seeing what David went through with family, how difficult that is, I'm burdened for my family. And I trust you're burdened for yours. So let's just spend a few minutes praying together. If you want to pray silently, that's fine, but we need to learn to pray out loud together as well. So I'm going to start us off praying, and then whatever the Lord lays on your heart to pray about, I want you to speak out. But I'll start us, and then I'll close us at the end. Father, this morning I know I've changed things other than away from what I had planned and what I felt you laid on my heart a couple weeks ago to start this series. But Lord, I also felt that you wanted to address this morning. And Lord, I pray for my own kids. I pray for Cameron and Spencer and Paige that you would just help them to walk with you. I know they all claim to know you. And they've been baptized, so they've been brought up in the church and all that stuff, all the activities that a Christian should do, they did. But Lord, some of the choices they've made over the last few years weren't what I thought were right. But Lord, forgive me for failing to pray all the time. But I pray that you would stir in their hearts and help them to walk with you, help them to live for you. And Father, I pray that you would just convict them of things that need to be convicted of. And Lord, for myself as well, convict me of things that I'm doing that are questionable or not a proper behavior for a child of God, a mature child of God. Lord, forgive me for not praying all the time. Forgive me for getting angry. Forgive me for growing bitter. Lord, forgive me for not being the example that I should be as a dad and as a husband. And Lord, I pray that you would start the revival with me. Lord, prick my heart, change my heart, and then, Lord, help me to be an example, Lord, to those around me. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring my children and possibly future grandchildren, nieces and nephews who have wandered away, Lord, help them to see a change in me. And Lord, help me to point them to Christ. Lord, we're grateful that you've called us to walk with you, and you provided a way of salvation for us in the midst of our filth and sin and dirt and hidden thoughts that we think no one knows, but we know that you do. The words that we've used that might not have been dirty words, but were inappropriate words, perhaps words of judgment or condemnation or gossip, words of bitterness. Lord, and perhaps our kids have seen that and heard that. We pray that we would have an opportunity to repent before them. And Lord, we just pray that you would restore relationships that have been broken. And Lord, especially the relationship with you that some of our family members have chosen to break. They were brought up hearing the word, and maybe one time made a decision. Whether it was genuine or not, we don't know. But Lord, at least they heard it, and they responded to it. And then they've kind of chosen, as they've gotten older, to wander away. We pray that you would restore that relationship. And we pray that you, again, would start any revival in us. We thank you, Lord, for what we hear is going on across the country and around the world now with revivals of of just the simple word of God piercing hearts. And we would pray that for our family, that you would use your word to bring and to restore into a relationship with you. Because, Lord, we believe your return is very soon. And we want to see as many people. James Dobson saying to his own son, he said, just take as many people with you as you can. So, Lord, we pray that we would be that witness for you. And, Lord, we would have a passion for the lost, even if that's our own family members, that we would love them to you. Bless the remainder of our day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together. We're going to sing Draw Me Close. And again, I apologize if this song or this service wasn't what you expected, but I pray that God would work in our families. All right, let's sing this out. Forgot how appropriate that song would be for what we just spoke about. That's what our prayer for our kids is, that they would draw near back to the Lord. At Sunday school, we're going to come back in about 15, 20 minutes. Have a Max Licato video. It was just done about 4 months ago. Matter of fact, 5 months ago, because he mentioned Aaron Judge hitting his home run that broke the record that afternoon. He goes, if you haven't seen it, Aaron Judge has hit a home run. But he's speaking to a Christian college and challenging them to live for the Lord in this culture. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And once again, Lord, we pray that you would just draw our kids close. Help them to draw close to you. Our grandchildren, our family members, Lord, again, our spouses, those that we work with. Help us to be that bold witness for you. And Lord, help us to be willing to be made a fool of in the world's eyes to stand for you. And we pray that you would just draw a multitude to you, starting that revival with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a time of fellowship and be back in about 15 minutes.